Hopefully you're already to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, as we continue our way through the Ten Commandments. We're going to be looking at simply verse 7 this morning. Exodus 20 and verse 7. And if you're familiar with the third commandment of the Ten, you kind of understand the theme of what we sang this morning, about exalting and exulting in the name of the Lord. And so, you know, as you sang those songs, what thought came to your mind? What do you think of when you think of the name of the Lord? Who is He to you? Be meditating on that as we examine this commandment of what God has called us to do with His name. Verse 7, the word of the Lord says this: "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. May you reverence, may you set apart, may you exalt your holy name among us today. Father, help us to see the glory of your name by helping us to see the glory of you. Father, help us to see that how we treat your name is what we think of you. They cannot be separated. So, Father, I pray that the purpose for which you have made all that we know and see, all of creation, the heavens, the earth, the water, in the earth and under the earth, everything has been made for the glory of your name. And so I pray by the power of your Spirit in us, your people today, that you would work this purpose out in us, that you would cause us to see your glory, that you would work in us a desire and a faith in you that will cause us to live out this commandment as your people. Father, to exalt your name, to exalt in your name, understand who it is we speak of. Father, only you can do this. Help us to see our desperation for you in the midst of this. It must be seen. We left to ourselves will do the opposite. Therefore, the warning. Lord, I trust you. You will not leave your people alone. You have sent your Son to be with us and to live in us. You have not left us as orphans. So God Almighty, do your work, the power of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus we ask. Amen. Well, if you have ever sat through a discipleship class, A Way of the Master, or if you've ever just watched one of the episodes of the TV series Way of the Master, or if you've ever just watched Ray Comfort witness to people on YouTube, right? You know how Ray Comfort likes to share the gospel with people. He likes to use that good person test. And he does that by asking the people how they have obeyed the Ten Commandments. And he doesn't take them through all ten, does he? It only takes a couple, really, three or four, usually, to prove his point that, yes, they're guilty. We're all guilty if we honestly answer before the Lord in obeying these commandments that we're going through. And one of the commandments, though, that even though he uses three or four, one of them he always seems to like to use is he will ask them, have you taken the name of the Lord in vain? And oftentimes when he asks that, I watch and there's a moment or pause of confusion almost in the people. What does that mean? They don't understand. And so then Ray will clarify. He said, well, have you ever used the name of God as a curse word? Have you ever used it as a four-letter swear word? And then, you know, it clicks. Oh, yes, I've done that. And, you know, the reason there's confusion with just saying is, have you taken the name of the Lord in vain? The reason Ray uses that explanation is that is really what most people, I think, see as this commandment, period. That to take the name of the Lord in vain is to use his name as a curse word. Now, is using the name of the Lord in this way breaking this commandment? Yes, absolutely. Right? You're guilty if you've used the name of the Lord in that way. But is this all there is to it? Is this all this means? You know, if I try really hard not to let my words slip out against my Lord in this way, have I kept this commandment? The answer is absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's so much more than just not taking the name of God as a curse word on our lips. And so what I want to do in the sermon is unpack, well, what does it mean, right? What is this commandment really about besides this? It is this, but what, is there more? Yes. So I want to look at this commandment by looking again at those three questions that I believe served us very well in the first two commandments. And that's just, what is it, why, and how? You know, what is this commandment? What does it mean then? Let's clarify it. Why? Why should we obey it? And then how? How do we go about it as Christ followers? So let's begin with the what, brothers and sisters. What does this commandment mean to not take the name of the Lord your God in vain? Well, it's of significance to first understand, I believe, that the word take here, more literally translated, is lift up. Do not lift up the name of the Lord your God in vain. Well, you know, that helps a little bit. Because then you got to ask the question, okay, well then, what does it mean then to lift up the name of the Lord? Well, if you look behind this Hebrew phrase, behind both of these words, take and lift up, you'll understand there are really two meanings to it, but they both have purpose in our context of this passage. They both apply. And so, what are those two meanings? Well, the first one is when we take or we lift up the name of the Lord, it's in the way that we would lift up or take the name of the Lord upon ourselves when we take a vow, when we swear. Because what are we doing? We're identifying with the Lord. We're taking on His name. When we do that, we lift it up. And then two, the other one is by simply speaking the name of the Lord, when we put His name, we take it on our lips. And when we take the name of the Lord on our lips and it comes out, we have lifted up the name of the Lord. So those are the two broad categories of this taking the name of the Lord here. So the commandment is, you know, don't identify with the Lord, take His name on yourself in vain, and don't speak the name of the Lord in vain. And well, then we come to, well, what's in vain? Well, you know, you probably know what this means. It means empty, doesn't it? It means without meaning, without weight, without purpose, without worth. That's what vanity means. And so here is the commandment explained further, is don't lift up the name of the Lord either by identifying with it or by speaking it in an empty, worthless, meaningless manner. Now that's a lot more than what we just talked about, isn't it? You know, because of the fear, you may know this, because of the fear of actually breaking this commandment, there are many Orthodox Jews today, and they're just following a long tradition of Orthodox Jews, and that they will not speak at all the name of the Lord. That is the covenant name of the Lord, Yahweh. And that is the name used in the commandment, right? When you see, you shall not take the name of the Lord, your God, that's in all caps in your Bible, or it should be. And that, remember, that identifies what's behind this is actually Yahweh, the covenant name of God. And so, in honor of this commandment, they did not and do not utter the name ever on their lips. And it's because of that that we really don't know absolutely sure the pronunciation of this word. I say Yahweh because that is what's been identified by Hebrew scholars. Those that have a lot of wisdom and intelligence that God's given them have come up. They think this is probably it. But for sure we don't know because why there's no vowels in the Hebrew language, that doesn't help. And then it wasn't uttered for centuries among his people. So we don't for sure how it's pronounced, but we think it's Yahweh. Well, now, are the Jews right in this attempt to not speak his name? Well, no, I don't think so. You've heard me utter his name. If I thought that, I would not speak it. But I believe God does not want us not speaking his name, or he would have told us. And I think the fact that Yahweh appears in the Old Testament almost 7,000 times tells us God wants his name to be used. It's just he wants it used rightly, right? So what the commandment doesn't forbid, it doesn't forbid the use of his name. It forbids the misuse of his name. That's what this commandment is about. That's why it's in the negative. Don't take my name in vain. That should bring us to some questions, shouldn't it, brothers and sisters? It should. Okay, can you help me with what does that look like to take his name in vain? What does it look like? Well, I think it will help us to break it into those two categories I just talked about, taking it on and speaking. And let's start with just speaking. And when we take the name of the Lord on our lips, how can we take it in vain? Well, first and foremost, as I've already spoken of, I think the most egregious way that we can break this commandment is to use the name of God as a swear word, as a curse word. And that even includes using the name of Jesus Christ as some kind of exclamation point, right? You know what I speak of. When you hear it, when I hear it, my soul is grieved. It pierces me. It runs through me to hear the name of the Lord dishonored in such a way. So this is, we all know this is taking the name of the Lord in vain. And we really ought to fight for the honor of the Lord when we hear that. If he's yours. I haven't always done that, but I'm convicted that when you should, you know, not a jerk, don't be a jerk, but, you know, stop, call that to be stopped. It's a grieving thing. Now, there's a side note on this. Those who will speak that are often those who will have openly rejected the Lord. Many of them claim that there is no God, atheists, yet they speak this without even being aware of it. I believe that's just evidence of their knowledge of God really deep down in their hearts. It's just, it comes out. The rebellion against God comes out naturally. They can't even stop it. They know there's a God and that they have rebelled against him. That's why it comes out. That's why they never use the name of Muhammad or Allah as a curse word, do they? They don't use the name of Buddha or Dalai Lama. You never hear that said like that. Why? Because they know that those aren't real gods. This is the true God and the Jesus Christ himself. They know. It's just evidence of that. What's some more ways then if that's not all this commandment's about? Well, very related to this is the Christian version of this. Right? You know what I speak of? The polite way of misusing the name of the Lord. Oh my God, right? I swear to God. Good Lord. And even the very polite, gosh darn it. I say that in a grieving way. I've been guilty. But we mean the same thing when we say that. We're just, you know, we're sensitive. We know not to speak so horribly of the Lord, but this is, it's the same thing just coming out of our heart. We're not really honoring the name of the Lord when we do that. And then, of course, there's just basically taking the name of the Lord on our lips in a meaningless way. Right? Flippantly. Without reverence that it deserves. We can do this in many ways just by, you know, telling jokes about God. Taking it lightly. We do it by speaking Christian cliches without really meaning it. God bless you. Praise the Lord. If we don't really mean that, we have taken the Lord's name in vain. It's just, if it's just meaningless. I think, however, I think the most common way for us to do it, and I'm talking about us and any group of Christians, is when we come before Him to worship Him. This can be subtle, we don't realize it, but if we're not realizing who it is we're coming before, if we're not understanding the weight of this God that we profess, if we're not realizing the holiness that His character, who He is, who is He to you? If we're not taking that into consideration at all, if we're just coming, right? If we're just coming to do our thing, then we fall into this rote repetition and meaningless speaking of the name of the Lord. I don't say that lightly. That's why you hear me call you to this all the time, out of fear of that. Don't do that. Don't come without realizing who it is you're worshiping. Don't come without realizing whose name you're speaking. We do this when we pray, right? We can, Jesus said, don't pray in vain repetition. There's that vain word again. You know, if we're just praying mindlessly our rote memorized prayers, what are we doing? We're not thinking of who we're speaking of, and therefore we're taking His name in an empty manner. Same thing when we read the Word and we hear the Word, and we're just, if we speak it and are we understanding, as our brother called us to in the scripture meditation, whose name are you thinking of and reading of and meditating on? Who is it? And then, as I always warn against, it's the singing of songs of praise. We just sang of His name, and we sing of His name all the time. But if we just come and mindlessly sing, you know, we're just going through the motions. You know what I mean. Your mind checks out. And you know this tune. That's the danger. And we can spit it out and we don't even know what we sang. What have we done with the name of the Lord? We've taken it on our lips in an empty way. Did it have any meaning? No. Why? Because the heart and the thought of the mind were not connected with it. We weren't truly lifting up the name of God as only it deserves. It's like the character Hamlet in the Shakespearean play by his own name. He said, "My words fly up, but my thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go." That's the point. You know, if we're just mindless, vain repetition, it's no different than praying in vain repetition. If we're not really considering who it is we're coming before, we can take the name of the Lord in vain. Just a very common, subtle way, brothers and sisters. Well, you're probably wondering, why is this guy always pushing this? I don't want to come before the Lord in a vain way. You know, I want us to all realize who it is we're coming before. And so as I urge you, I'm urging myself. I'm no different. I have the same weaknesses and the same temptations. But let's always strive by faith to see who God is as we come before Him and speak His name and sing His name, pray His name, read His name. Well, that's the first category. What about the other category, taking this name on ourselves? What do you mean? Well, there's, the example I use with taking it on. First, do we not take on the name of the Lord when we make a vow, when we take an oath, when we promise? You know, in a courtroom, what do? They put their hand on the Bible and they swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What they've done, they've identified with the Word of God and said, "My words will be as true as this is." Right? It's the exact same thing, maybe to a higher level, although it's the same thing. But to a higher level, when you actually take on the name of God in a vow and an oath, right? "I swear to God, my words are true." What have you done in that moment? You have identified with God. You have taken His name on yourself. And you're saying, "My words are true as God's are." Right? So you have taken on the identity of the Lord in that moment. And so to take an oath by using His name and then failing to keep that oath or that vow means you have taken His name in vain, in a worthless, empty manner. And that's true whether you meant to break the vow when you made it or not. Some people make these vows with God's name and they know they're going to break it when they make it. Right? Now that's wicked. The only reason they're doing that is because they want people to believe them for their own purpose. And so they will misuse God's name for that. But brothers and sisters, we're still breaking the commandment if we make that oath and we call God's name upon ourselves and then we break it, then we're still guilty of taking his name in vain. That's why Jesus warned us not to do such a thing, right? He said, don't take vows. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. There's a great danger in this. And so if you do it, you better do it with great contemplation, great meditation and prayer before the Lord, making sure that you are set to keep this no matter what. If you call his name in upon yourself and taking this vow. Now, there are other ways we take his name on ourselves and we take it in vain too. We do this, there's this whole category of identifying with the Lord to boost or advance our cause. And it's similar to the taking the vow. Why do we do that? It's to boost the truth of our word. But we can do this in all sorts of ways. We can even go to the lengths of calling his name to get people to do something. We can say, or to justify what we're doing. What we say is, the Lord told me to do this. Or, the Lord told me to tell you. Now, why are we doing that? The only reason we're doing that, right? Now, think about it. We're saying, God, I'm on God's side. God's with me. You better do what I'm saying, or I'm doing what I'm saying because God is, his approval is on this. When we were in Haiti a few years ago, my wife was walking around with a camera to take pictures. And one of the people in the village, young, some teenage boy, came up to her. And he started to tell her he wanted the camera. And when she wouldn't give it to him, he said, God told me to tell you to give me that camera. Yeah, right. But see what? That's exactly what he was doing. He took the name of the Lord on himself to advance his cause. We ought to be very careful with ever saying, well, the Lord told me. You better be sure of that. You know what that is? False prophet. You're a false prophet. That's exactly what they did. Oh, king, the Lord's with you. He said, go up and battle. Wow. And if they didn't tell him that, just think of the condemnation that will lie on that false prophet. That's exactly what they're doing. You're false prophet. Falsely prophesying. Beware of that. Now, I don't know too many people that do go ahead and say, no, the Lord did, you know, I got a word from the Lord. Except maybe to get an airplane or something, you know. You've heard that. And the Lord told me that you give me $1 million so I can get an airplane. Whew, that's the same thing. But a lot of people will do this, and it's almost the same thing. We use passages of Scripture, and we take them and we twist them for approval of what we want to do. Why do we do that? Why do we even bother? Well, what we want to do is we want to tag God onto what we're doing for the approval of what we're doing. It's the same thing. You know what I speak of. When you take these, you know, passages of God that speak only of love and never talk about a judgment for reason why it's okay for me to break my vows that I've made or whatever. When you twist passages to make homosexuality okay before God, same thing. When you just say, don't judge, for a justification for why you should never confront anybody in their sin, even a brother and sister, you have twisted Scripture to justify your stance. And you've taken the name of the Lord upon yourself in vain. In vain. We do this in many ways. Just in the political arena, my goodness. People do this all the time. You better be careful. When you utter, God's on this side, you better know, right? Now, I have no qualms with saying, you know, the Lord hates abortion because it's clear it comes against all life and God's a God of life. So don't, you know, I know that. I'll proclaim that. But let me ask you this. Whose side is God on in this whole illegal immigration debate? Both sides claim they're on the side of the Lord. Right? I don't know. I would be very careful before I bring God and say, He's on my... Why are we doing that? We're just giving weight to our side, our cause. You should seek what the Lord's will is in all these things. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but be very careful with just, God's on my side, right? He's on all things on the Republican ticket. He's on my side. You better be careful. Don't misuse His name. There's another one. What businesses? If you're in business, you can take His name on you for profit. Same thing. You could just make T-shirts. I think I'll put the name of Jesus on my T-shirt because people buy that. That's for your purpose, for your advantage. Or just putting slogans of God's name on your business so that people will do business with you. We again, Haiti, this happens in other places. See it in India too. The taxis over there, they're called the Tap Taps. They got Jesus' name plastered all over them. A lot of them. But we can't, after just a little bit of, oh, there's Christians, and a little bit of investigation is like, no, not really. They just put that on there to get people to use their taxi. You see, what they're doing is they're using God's name in vain, in a vain way, empty, worthless way. It's not honoring His name. One more. Taking His name on, it's just the general way it's done. If we proclaim ourselves to be Christians, what have we done? We have taken on the name of the Lord. We have identified ourselves with Him. And if we do that, and then we go out and live the opposite, have we not taken on His name in vain? Matthew Henry said it like this: those that name the name of Christ, but do not depart from iniquity, as that name binds them to do, name it in vain. It's hypocrisy. It's what Jesus condemned in the Pharisees. You hypocrite. You say you're of God, and you live the totally opposite way. Let all people beware of taking the Lord's name in vain in this way. Can't just, I'm a Christian, and then live like the devil. So those are many, many ways. That's what it means to take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And I could keep going, couldn't I? I mean, you can kind of get in, you see that how deep this can run in us. We just don't take it seriously sometimes. So let's go to the why. That's the what. Of course, the most in-depth. You want to unpack, what does this mean? Why? And when I say why, there are many answers to that question. But I just want to focus in on the reason that we're given right in the passage. Just like last week, we are given the reason to obey this commandment. Do you see it? That's what it means when it says for. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For, you could substitute the word because there. You hear me talk about that all the time. Because why? The Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes His name in vain. That's a pretty good reason. Other translations of this are, He will not hold him guiltless who takes the name of the Lord your God in vain. Well, if He won't hold you guiltless, what does He hold you? Guilty. So you could say it that way. If you take the name of the Lord your God in vain, He will hold you guilty, period, bar none. That's what this passage is saying. And so what's that mean? That means you're condemned before the Lord. If you take His name in vain, condemnation, it's a sin worthy of judgment. That's what this is saying. And you will be judged if you break this. That's what this is saying. Now you go, oh, really? I think, why did the Lord put that on this one specifically? I think because a lot of people don't see this as very serious. Outside of using His name as a curse word. They understand that because you just know deep down in your heart that's wicked. But they don't see, why is it that God would take so seriously just maybe a slip up of not using his name with the weight it deserves? Well, what we have to understand, brothers and sisters, is that God's name cannot be separated from him. Therefore, when you take his name in vain in this way, you have treated the Lord himself in this way. You have taken the Lord and dishonored him in a vain, meaningless, worthless way. It is an affront to him and his personhood as God. It's hard for us to get this because in our Western civilization, names don't mean quite what they do in the Eastern civilizations of the Middle East. We see names as given to us, and therefore they're kind of like labels. Right? I have a name. It is my name, but it's something I have. It's not who I am. Right? I'm not my name. But in the Middle East, they saw it completely different, still see it completely different, and they see it rightly. Your name really becomes who you are. It's your essence. So your name becomes synonymous with your person. And how much more so is that with the Lord? Who gave God his name? Nobody gave him his name. It is who he is. That's why he has the name of I Am. You can't give somebody that name. That is who he is. He's God. He exists. And so you can't separate the two. And so therefore, if you hold his name lightly in contempt, then you've held him lightly and in contempt. Therefore, whoever takes my name in vain, they won't be held guiltless. Now, every single one here, listen to me. Everybody here. Is there anybody here who can claim, after hearing all this, that they've never taken the name of the Lord their God in vain? I'm not guiltless. I didn't go through all these to make sure, but I'll probably, if I went through every example, I've probably been guilty of every one in some way. I know I'm guilty, and we all are. If there's any ounce of integrity in you at all and honesty within you, know you have taken the name of the Lord your God in vain. So what's that mean? That means every one of you and myself will not be held guiltless. We will not go unpunished. Therefore, brothers and sisters, does this commandment not reveal to you your great need for the Lord Jesus Christ? Does this commandment not reveal to you how much you need the righteousness of the obedience of Jesus in this commandment and how much you need his forgiveness for your breaking of this law and of dishonoring God in such a way? Oh, brothers and sisters, see your need for Jesus and cast yourself on him right now. Even if you already have, keep casting yourself on Jesus and his righteousness and not your own, because you don't have any. Well, we want to think we kept some of these, but we have not. You need Jesus so desperately. So I ask to all that can hear, even those who might hear later on the recording of this, do you know Jesus? Have you repented of your sins and cast yourself, trusted in Jesus and his work of righteousness and work of forgiveness on the cross, and therefore been saved? Or if not, then understand you're still guilty before the Lord, right? My brother read the psalm. Who could stand before the Lord if you hold us accountable to our iniquity, right? That's what that psalm's talking about. Nobody. And so, just in this commandment alone, just forget about the rest of the... My goodness, we've got one verse of 66 books of Bibles full of verses. One verse. And we stand condemned rightly to be cast into hell. And without Jesus, this will happen. God doesn't go back on his word. He doesn't break his word like we do. So how much do you need Jesus? Please, I implore you, if you don't know Christ, cast yourself on him now. Right? All who will come to him, he will in no wise cast out. So turn, go to him in faith, trust the righteousness of Christ alone for your salvation. It's the only hope you have. This commandment by itself condemns everybody living. We need Jesus. We desperately need Jesus. Praise God for the hope found in his great name. You know, Jesus, we sang how many all these songs, blessed be your name. That is one reason alone his name should be blessed constantly upon our lips, right? I'll never forget the day Jesus washed me free of my sins. Praise the name of Jesus. Never, ever take the name of Jesus lightly because of this alone. Lord, help us. Well, okay, that's why. Now, we're honing down, aren't we? How we do this. And I just said, well, you can't because you're guilty. So what are you even trying to talk about how? Right? And it's true. You're guilty already. If you're honest at all, put that scripture in front of you. You need Jesus' obedience, period. You see, I highlight this because this is a big part of what it means to trust Jesus. You're trusting not only his forgiveness through his blood, but you're trusting his obedience for your righteousness before God. You have no righteousness of your own. It's an alien. It's outside of you. An alien righteousness, they call it. It's Jesus's. So, trust him. But, as Christ's followers, we're still called to honor the Lord and obey the commandments that he's given us, including this one, out of love and devotion. You know what we talked about last week? In the how to not worship God in an improper manner. We talked about, well, it said right there, the end of verse 6 right before it, love me and keep my commandments. Others, we're still called to this. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So how do we do it? Well, obviously we've seen a lot about how to not take the name of the Lord in vain. That's what we've seen, right? Don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. And this is how the commandment's given it to us. It's given it to us in the negative. That's what I call the negative and the do not. It's the do not. So obviously we can keep it by doing that, but it's, as I've been saying, as we see every commandment, it's important for us to see every commandment and do not in the positive light. Because there is a positive commandment here as much as there is a negative commandment. Do you see it? And it's simply, very simply, not light, but simple. The truth is, honor the name of your Lord always. That's how we keep this commandment. It's honoring his name no matter when we think of it, when we speak it, or when we take it upon ourselves. Take it in a serious manner by which it deserves. And the only way we can do that is to remember his name's not separate from him. So really we have to honor him in that way always. That's what we're called to do, is to see God and his worthiness, Kelly, right? See the worth of the Lord your God always. And when you do, you won't use his name in vain. Because again, you can't separate the two. And we'll be like the psalmist in 103 that we've been singing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is in me. Bless what? His holy name. If my heart and soul are blessing the Lord, then I'll bless his name. It will just come natural, right? So again, it has to be done from a heart of love and devotion to the Lord. We can't do this simply out of duty. You can't. Your heart must be given to the Lord. And so then we come back to the same place we're going to have to every commandment, and that's back to Jesus, because we can't love the Lord without Christ, without a walk with him, without an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way our hearts can love the Lord in the way he calls us and he deserves, he's worthy of, right? There's no way we can see it without a close, intimate walk with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way we command, that's how we obey this commandment. It's to meet Jesus, right? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God's at work in you. Right? Seek the Lord, and if it's real, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. What's he going to do? He's going to cause us to see by faith who he really is. And that's what we need. That when we see who he really is, then we're going to love him. Because he's magnificent and he's beautiful and he's worthy. And so we got to walk with him, pray with him day by day. We can't see unless he does it, so we got to pray. Your prayer life is indicative of how dependent you see yourself on the Lord. Only he can do it. So pray. Ask God to let you see. When you see it, you'll see him as worthy, and you'll praise him as he is worthy of. Answer's always back to Jesus, just like last week. Exalt in him. Walk with him, and this will just happen in your walk. I want to end just by reading Psalm 66, 1 to 2. I could have picked probably a million, hyperbole there. I could have used many, many psalms to make this point, but we're getting ready to sing again. Guess who we're going to sing about? Right? Let's do it in a manner he's worthy of. Right? Psalm 66, 1 to 2. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. That's a command. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are glorious. You are worthy. You are magnificent and beautiful and amazing. And any word that you could give us to describe how wonderful you are. You are all these things. God, help us to see it. Help us to see the worthiness of you and your name, and let us walk in a love relationship with you so that we will pour out from our heart an honor and glory that you are worthy of. Let us lift up your name. Let us take it on our lips. Let's take it on our person. Identify with it in a very weighty manner, realizing what we do and what we say. For Lord, you're worthy. And right now, Lord, help us sing with a mind and a heart that lift up, that truly lift these words up to you. We're not just opening the mouth and vain repetition comes out, because we know this song. So Lord, help us to really worship you as we sing. You must do it. And so we keep coming back to you and asking you to work this out. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.